Hello and welcome back to The Latecomers. I'm Amity.
I'm Lemuel.
And this week, we are talking about some bug shit people. Well, one bug shit person, I suppose. And the vortex of insanity that she drags around her. We watched 1964 British film, Dance on a Wet Afternoon. One of the reasons it was not included on the AFI list, no doubt, because it's not A. That's been mostly our move. Very right. Few of the movies we've talked about so far have been American films. So we're just bolstering the AFI. We're not rewriting the AFI. Same thing's going to be true with our second half, which is just movies that came out since their list was made. So, right. But we'll have a few where we're just like, well,
I mean, Bad Day at Black Rock.
Yes.
Or even The Most Dangerous Game early on. It's like, how that didn't make their list, I don't know.
Yeah. But
yes, we've been watching a lot of foreign films lately, and this is one of them.
You could barely tell it's a foreign film. I mean, yeah, we'll get to it. But, so this movie, you brought this to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is another film I'd never seen before. I'd never even heard of it before. So this is based on a novel also called Seance on a Wet Afternoon by Mark McShane. Have you read the book?
I haven't read the book. This afternoon in preparation, I listened to a BBC adaptation of it.
Mm.
And I'll explain after we do our synopsis of the story, how it differs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly in that it's about two very earnest kidnappers, and they don't have this sort of spirit child haunting them. That's not even an element of the, if the adaptation that I heard is close to the book. They're not as sympathetic.
It's still strange. Earnest kidnappers for this particular, like, doesn't make a lot of sense mm-hmm. in the context of the story. I don't know. It's very strange. You want to talk about the stars of this movie?
Yes.
It's really two people, mostly.
Yes.
It's Kim Stanley, who is neither Kim Novak nor is she Kim Stanley Robinson. There was some confusion on my part. You kept saying, and this is, which I didn't realize was from her autobiography, or her biography,
mm-hmm.
she was referred to as a female Brando.
Right.
What that mean?
Okay, so that was, it was something that James Earl Jones said about her, having worked with her on stage. That she, and she, it stuck with her as a reference point to her style of performer. She was a method performer. She did come from the actor's studio, where she dazzled everyone with her ability to so completely sink herself into a part that she could make stuff really uncomfortable, even for viewers. And she didn't realize that that this was drawing people to her, and she handled it very poorly.
Right.
She developed a crippling stage fright. She developed, like a lot of actors, particularly in that generation, an addiction to alcohol. And she, at one point, had a disastrous performance on live television and just said, I'm never setting foot on stage again, and became a teacher. But I'll read you something that I read today.
Okay.
This is an actor speaking about her. The past is gone. Yes, the past is full of Kim's brilliance. I think you need to remind people what they didn't see and can't understand. When people ask about Kim, I talk about things that no longer exist. In my opinion, passion, genius, truth, danger, fearless exploration. Maybe someone like Kim wasn't meant to last long on stage. It might have been too much for her to handle. She was beyond virtually everyone she met and worked with, loved and endured. Many an actor walks lamely, I might add. In lanes she hacked free, cleared, paved, and left, and they have not been suitably tended since. So this is from Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay.
In an interview.
Interesting. Where he's going on. And did they work together?
No.
No.
They might have in stage, as far as I see.
Fair enough.
Certainly not in film, because she only did four films.
Right.
But the fact that this actor is giving her so much, and not only her, but everyone who worked with her. I was reading an obituary written in for Playbill, which was a big theater resource. It publishes the plays themselves, lists the original cast, things like that, and it mentions everyone from Rex Reed, who does not like anybody, to Elaine Strick, and people who worked with her were going on about how exceptional a talent she was. And the great pity is that we don't have that much left behind to judge by. She got this part over a couple of other actresses, including Anne Bancroft, because she, because of a live performance that she did, and also because she had a connection to Horton Foote, the playwright who had written the adaptation, of the stage adaptation, later the film adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird, and she did the voice for the adult scout remembering things, and that part alone got her the screen test, and then she just amazed everyone with what she was able to do.
And like Brando said, we weren't friends. I liked and respected her, but we are not friends, although we had a closeness each time we were together. She had no problem asking my advice or offering hers, and what we told each other was similar. We both believed that the other was committed to inferior work, elevating what might not deserve our attention and our commitment. Brando's never been not an asshole, huh? But he says, both of us were horrible stewards of the talent. Both of us were horrible stewards of the talent we were given, not to mention the fragile receptacles in which it was placed. I do not know what Kim's demons are, and I don't care. No one really should care. The work is what should be studied, not the patient who crafted it. She was stunned and delighted by his comments. But it does seem like they worked on things. She would ask for him to be in some of the things she was in.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he couldn't do it. Like, there are specific things. She says that he was one of the reasons, if not the primary reason, that I believed in the theater. So they had apparently a mutual respect.
Well, I imagine that the Actors Studio, there were...
Fair enough, yeah.
At the time, it was an experimental group.
Right.
So they had...
I only know them as James Lipton and Bradley Cooper sitting in the audience. He was in so many of them, which I think is cool, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure how method she was. I know that method has become kind of a joke now, where
but also,
performers take it to self-defeating extremes.
It seems like the way that women interpret... This is broad, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that women interpret method acting and the way that men interpret method acting are very different things.
Mm-hmm.
The men who we hear as being method actors are not method actors because they're not acting anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do all the things to make yourself the person, then you're not acting anymore. Like, you're just being the person. That's different. That's not the same. Women tend to, they sort of, I think the fundamental of method acting, right, is to connect what the character is experiencing to something that you have experienced so that the emotions are similar and you can act authentically, right? Not, I became a cobbler for 4 years so that I could be a cobbler in this movie.
I think that one of the best rationalizations of the method process that I read was that you watch a cat on stage. You watch it because it was just a cat being a cat.
The cat is
not doing anything other than being what it is.
Right.
So the idea is to place yourself in a frame of mind where you are that person. And unfortunately, it's become, as I said, now a caricature.
You can't call me anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call me by any name but my character name. You can't, like, in My Left Foot, Daniel Day-Lewis made people carry him around.
Right. Well, I know that...
He goes hard.
Right. I know that Brando, for instance, near the end was only acting with cue cards because he didn't want to learn a script. He wanted to appear as if he's thinking a thought as it's coming to him, which is an interesting approach.
That is an interesting... I don't know that you're going to get the results that you want to get from that particular approach, but maybe it worked for him.
It couldn't. It depended on
because
the part.
I feel
because he didn't do that for, obviously, for playing Mark Anthony. I just saw him do a Julius Caesar, the film. And, you know, Shakespeare is a different animal.
Yes.
But, and so is live stage work.
But I just feel like a big part of acting should be the reaction to the thing that your partner is saying, whoever your scene partner is saying. You want to have a legitimate response to them rather than waiting for them to be done to say your thing. Like, you can always tell when somebody's just waiting for the person to be done to say their line. And it feels like if you're reading the lines, if you're doing it as you're supposed to be saying them, you're going to have such a break. Like, there's going to be weird pauses. And if you're reading your lines before you have to say them, you're not listening to the person that you're interacting with.
His method could work really well in screen acting.
Yeah, where there's cuts and moves and
where you can edit the performance afterward.
Yeah. Yes.
And
cut out all of that.
Right. Cut out the dead spaces, cut out the and you have reaction shots.
Or have him just doing it all in the reaction.
Giving your speech, and then I'm going to be you can edit that together. So he experimented a lot with film acting. I think in this case, what Brian Forbes, who is an exceptional director, he's a lot like I was drawn to see this film basically because, frankly, it had the word seance in the title, and this is always, to me, inherently dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
You have people sitting at a table in a dark room with a candlelight sometimes, trying to reach voice. Like, there's nothing that isn't dramatic about that. It automatically just grabs your attention, and the film is shot in such a way that from the opening scene, when we start with the seance, it grabs your attention.
There's two seances in this movie.
They bookend the film. Well, there's three, actually.
Is that three?
There's three.
Okay.
But when I saw the film that was produced, I saw Brian Forbes as director, who's very much like Robert Wise. He's a director who's covered a number of genre. And he, stuff like The L-Shaped Room, war films like King Rat, he did The Stepford Wives, he did Whistle Down the Wind, which is one of my favorite children, well, it's not even a children's movie. Hayley Mills discovers a man, a runaway criminal, who falls down in her barn and she's convinced that he's Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
It's lovely.
His name is Brian with a Y, which does not seem old-timey to me. Like, obviously, this man was born in the aughts, maybe? Right.
he was a really good director with doing very kind of personal stories, which is probably why The Stepford Wives worked when he did it. And it didn't when it became a big studio film, because he was able to capture it.
How many times has that movie been made?
It's been made twice.
Okay, it is just the second one was the Nicole Kidman joint.
Debacle, I think is the word you're looking for.
And then sort of, spoiler alert, Don't Worry, Darling. It's not exactly, but it is.
I think it is a spiritual sequel.
Right,
I feel almost as if Don't Worry, Darling was meant to cover the deficiencies of the revolting sort of almost misogynist twist they put on the remake of The Stepford Wives.
Sure.
Where in the end of that film, it's meant to justify male behavior.
You're like, right, obviously. Right. This is the logical thing that we've done.
But anyhow, going back to Stanley, she was cast in this film with Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough is the other person, not David Attenborough, but his brother? I think it's his brother.
They're related in some way.
And you might know him from Jurassic Park.
Or The Great Escape, which is what we saw earlier. And he's in this film playing...
He looks so worried.
Yes. So do you want to give the replay of the plot? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is David Attenborough's brother. I just wanted to clarify because I thought that was the case. Broad strokes, medium, unwell, and sadly unknown, wants to get famous. And believes that she is being led by an entity to, she wants to be involved in a famous crime, to help solve a famous crime. Unfortunately, there is no famous crime happening right now, so they make a famous crime. She and her much put upon husband, who is unable to work due to asthma, which is interesting. We never ever see him have any kind of health attack in this movie, which, given the stress that he's put under, is a little bit surprising. Stage a kidnapping so that she can then help the police and the family to find their missing child. And then her gifts will be known throughout the world. But of course, that's not how it works out.
Having heard any number of people talk about the film, they're trying to describe, because it is a genius.
It's a idea. It is. And the thing is, though, it's also bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, this movie doesn't work without Kim Stanley's performance and Richard Attenborough's support.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't. It does
not
work. Well,
because to go to the book, okay, so what happens over the course of the film is that, and we should mention that Myra Savage, the fake medium that Kim Stanley plays, is convinced.
There are certain things where I'm like, I never know. There's many points where I never know what people actually think versus what they...
That is the genius of this film.
What they believe, what they've told themselves and talked themselves into believing, or what they want other people to believe but don't believe themselves. It's the Donald Trump conundrum that I have where I'm like, he's clearly talking nonsense. Does he believe what he's saying? So for her and for him, both of them, you're just like, what do you believe?
So we should mention that Myra believes that her spirit guide is her deceased son, Arthur.
Yes. And we see that they have a room that has a bed in it and nothing else. And that is Arthur's room. She says, no one but Arthur has ever slept in the bed. When her husband tries to say, I did that one time.
When you were away, being sick.
She shuts that down.
She doesn't seem to remember. So what we can gather
is... doesn't remember. Yells at him that it wasn't true.
Right.
Like, will not accept any kind of alteration to her version of events.
And she's really convinced, maybe, or she believes, because she had apparently demonstrated this since she was a child. There's a speech that she gives about being asked to make a demonstration of her skills ever since she was a child. And I'm not sure if she fully believes, as you're saying, that she has this ability, but she believes enough to convince Arthur. And she is in such a fragile...
Not Arthur. Billy is her husband's name.
His name is William. She calls him Billy in a way...
Which is...
It's meant to degrade him in a way.
Yes,
to make him diminutive. She gives him very backhanded compliments. Oh, how I wish I was like you without the burden of this special gift that I have.
Yeah.
How wonderful it would be to be ordinary and plain like you are.
Yeah. No, it also... We don't know anything about her childhood. Mm-hmm. She could be just a person who was... abandoned or abused and has created this gift so that she didn't feel as sort of discarded. Like she didn't, like, if she was told by whoever was around her, whether she was adopted out or, you know, fostered or orphaned, or she had family that just, like, didn't pay attention to her, that is a way that she could have manifested this gift. Or her parents were like, no, she has this gift and she's going to...
Well, it seems her mother believed, because she left her this house. And I think that's kind of the burden that they have, is that they have this house. We only see one or two rooms actually decorated in the house.
It's
the rest of it.
Massive house. Right. We see it from the outside and it's huge.
Right. I think one of the...
I'm just like,
the credits are beautifully played because they have John Barry's music. Mm-hmm. John Barry, who we saw before, wrote the theme for Goldfinger. It's the opposite, whereas that was bombastic. This is very kind of quiet and creepy. And there's a lot of use of xylophone to it.
Yes.
But the first time that we see the house, it's reflected in a puddle.
Yeah.
And it is huge. And it is drafty, is the impression you get. And there's moths flying through the house all the time for some reason.
Yeah.
And she holds a seance there for 8 pounds.
Eight pounds ahead.
Right. You go there and she talks to you.
She has is it weekly or daily?
I think it's weekly.
Weekly. Okay. And you can just show up.
Right.
And
so she's arranged this kidnapping on Arthur's behalf because Arthur has told her that he wants her to become famous.
Yes.
And you can see the weight of this.
Share her gift with the world.
The weight of this on Billy.
Billy is just like, okay.
And it's you're watching it.
I just don't want you to be any more broken than you already are, so I'm just going to go along with this.
You're watching this, and you're watching him, like, try to shore her up, and he doesn't, apparently at some point, admits that he doesn't think she would go through with it. That this was, because the very first scene you see them...
It feels like she is full of grandiose ideas, and this is the first time that she's actually, like...
Yeah. And he's encouraging her, like, he's going along with it. The first scene that we see them, she's going on giving these descriptions about how the plan is going to work. Well, he's very quietly, and they're so British, this couple. He's cutting out the words from a newspaper that are going to be used in the letter.
She's writing the letter.
Right.
And then has him read it. and then they're editing it
right.
back
Not
and forth.
Piece, what is it? Piece of hair is what they said a lot.
Yes, because so. A lock is a curl.
Right.
That's after they already took the girl. So they take a girl from her school.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the school and tells the chauffeur of this little girl that there's a letter inside for him.
Or
and
call.
Then, I think it's a letter because he says, hand it to me. And he's like, oh, no, she wants to hand it to you herself. And then he gets in the car and he bounces. He just takes her. And I'm just like, so this girl sees you. Now you have to kill her, I guess?
The most he's done is that he's dyed his hair.
And then, when he gets back, he knocks her out. He does get her back to the house. Largely using
with chloroform, by the way.
Yes.
He
drugs her, and I think he this is the first time I think he puts the bike with the sidecar into action. Gets her back to the house, and when she wakes up, she's in Arthur's old room, which mm-hmm. they have stripped of anything. It is just white. They've put I guess they're called shutters, mm-hmm. like a big piece of wood that you like. Put into the window to just now it's not a window anymore.
Right.
It's all white. There's no adornment. He's got a doctor's coat and like a mask that he'll wear. She's got a nurse's outfit and a mask that she'll wear. And they're trying to say or like get this little girl to believe she's in a hospital. She's not doing well. She's in a hospital. Everything's gonna be fine.
It's double German measles.
The little
girl.
I already had them. she's like a
girl's
real
a spark plug. This
one,
she's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, and she's like, "This is bullshit," but also they're drugging me and I can't do anything about it. And they're not actively hurting me, so.
So she's there. They write the letter. They terrify the parents. Myra goes and visits the grieving parents and tells them that she saw a vision.
Yeah, she's still alive.
Right, she's still alive, so.
And goes to the police
mm-hmm.
and says, hey, I have psychic information for you. And they're like, yeah, nah, thanks though.
But over the course of the film, at one point the police start, there's a couple of really tense scenes in this movie.
There's a lot of tense scenes in this movie. Just watching Myra, you're like, at any point, she's going to snap and just kill somebody.
But I mean tense scenes in the, like, for instance, that are more in terms of, like, a suspense movie.
Yeah.
When the police show up at their house in the middle of the night, and they're knocking on the door, and they just sort of hide in the dark together.
Yeah.
And they're going, are the police going to break it? What? Because you can't do that. Apparently, the police just walk into your house in England.
I don't know what search and seizure laws they had in the 60s in England.
But... that and also the scene where he has to deliver the letter and also pick up the
money
was
they've asked for $25,000.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is they go and get $25,000. Is that also a motivation for the crime? Is that the fundamental motivation for the crime for him, but not for her? Is it really that,
point,
but she's trying to lie to herself that it's the gift thing? Like,
right. I think she says at one point you've always wanted me to have nice things. You can have that car that you
yes,
want.
Yes, it's the car.
But
he's like, I'm not doing it for the car.
Right. I'm not doing this for the car. He really does believe at some point she's going to come to her senses, and she doesn't.
I think he might also make a twist that when she starts going through with it, he's like, I've got to protect this child.
Right,
because
exactly.
Now that she's gone this far, she may never stop.
Yeah. And she just keeps making illogical choices and decisions.
Because she's unwell.
She goes and talks to the parents. He goes, the scene where he picks up the money.
It's very good. It's like a heist. It's like, da, 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 da.
And he was shot. It was shot in Piccadilly. Without any permits.
And he brings the girl with him.
Right. Well, he hides the girl.
Yes, but they leave the house together. And then he, in her drugged state, leaves her in the motorbike. Mm-hmm. Or in the sidecar of the motorbike. Which looks like a tram. A pram, rather. It's like this huge thing. And like while he's going forward, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a sidecar. When you look at it from the back, I'm like, what is that? Like, oh right.
Yeah, it was shot all with cameras hidden in locations so that people wouldn't they could capture the realism of a guy running frantically through the streets that no one's paying attention to, which I thought was a really interesting idea. But he's able to get the money, but the little girl is beginning to get ill, possibly from repeatedly being put
Being
unconscious.
drugged, yeah. We don't know what they're feeding her.
Right.
But yeah. It,
And so she's getting very, very ill, and then he starts to panic. And that's where he, Richard Attenborough, has his great scene, which is she, the first hint that he's coming pulled away from her is when she's consulting a book on how to take care of children.
yeah.
And the impression that you've gotten is,
Constantly, she's like, basically, kids are resilient.
right.
That's fine.
She has a fever. It's not
It's
uncommon
not
for children. And he
it's not
just
even
barks
fever.
out.
She's hot.
Right.
He's yeah, he says, "How would you know?"
Right.
And the whole time from the beginning, you think Arthur, clearly Arthur is a child that died, right?
Right.
You think maybe given the room that they have going on, he was like 10.
Right.
Between 5 and 15, right? Yeah, probably younger than 15, right? So between 5 and 10, I was thinking maybe 12. Stillborn, y'all, stillborn. This child did not
Never.
ever, was not ever parented in
And
actuality
Myra was
by this
never a
woman.
parent,
Right.
so.
Which is clear because she does
Right.
not.
And he blows up at her, and when he reveals this, it's genuinely
Shocking.
shocking.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because the whole time you're like, okay, well, clearly this is their dead child, and
Right.
he is supporting her because she is broken after the death of this child, which is probably part of it. Like I said, it's never, there's so many possibilities of why people are acting the way that they're doing and making the choices they're making and believing the things they're believing, if they're actually believing that, that it is very hard to like
Yeah.
put firm. But like get firm footing in this movie. Like you're constantly like, wait, what? What's going on? When he goes to pick up the ransom, he's also leaving because they think the cops are coming back.
Right.
So she puts out a shirt on the line, and she's like, if it's still out there, they haven't come yet, or they're still here. So don't come
Don't come
back.
back.
But yeah, he goes, he drops her off. He doesn't drop her off. He leaves her in a field. Cool. inside of this motorbike, goes to the city, snatches the bag, gets on the subway, changes his clothes out. He'd gotten some oranges. He puts them on top of the bag, it, in the bag, on top of a bag, so it looks like he's just got groceries. Like,
Right.
it's actually, his whole thing is pretty good. And then he goes back, and they're, you know.
But at no point is he makes the joke that in one of the kidnapping letters he says, don't call the police, we're professionals.
Yeah.
All through the film, it's putting the lie to that. They are not professionals. He even admits later,
Yeah.
I'm not a master criminal. I don't do this for a
I'm not
living.
even a mini criminal, an apprentice. I'm basically
And
an
he
apprentice.
looks terrified the entire time he's doing this. He's running for his life. And what's
But he's making, for the situation,
right.
he's making good choices.
Right. And he's making good choices. But what I mean to say is that he never looks confident that this will work. He seems to always be horrified that this is all
Yeah.
going to fall apart.
Because I think he's not even quite sure that this is actually happening.
No,
He's
I
like,
think, and
this isn't happening
that's
right now.
why this. The performances in this film are
Yeah.
exceptional. Is that you're right there with him, not knowing what he's going to do.
What
And
he's
I
gonna do,
don't
yeah.
think that he's necessarily a weak person. He's
No.
tried to support her and be kind of the safety
Yeah,
net for her.
it starts with she is browbeaten him into like he's got battered wife syndrome,
Right.
right? Like and then you see him like trying to be supportive of her. Like that's why he's doing this. He's not doing it for the car or the money or whatever. He's
No,
doing
right.
he doesn't say why he's doing it. He just says that's not why I'm doing this. And then it does just feel like, I mean, it's possible because he can't work that he feels like he owes her whatever she needs to help them survive. There's that piece of it. I don't know how. I mean, obviously, the death of a child is terrible for both parents. I don't know if he was stillborn or what happened, but it was Or if she basically miscarried, like, I don't know.
Right. You don't know the extent to which
What?
Arthur
Yeah.
ever breathed life.
Yes. So whether she that just broke her, or whether she'd been broken since go, like.
She seems to have been like this death really just sort of snapped whatever was going on with her. Like it snapped in her head.
Yeah.
And he is now trying to reinforce things that she says. He's trying to be careful. He apparently is very much in love with her and doesn't
Sure.
know how to,
He'd have to be, or he
right.
would have bounced.
And I think that's the part that makes this film also worth watching is that these two people are really, they're just sort of stuck. And he even says that he has a line like, "We're both mad,"
Yes. Yeah.
which is a great line because he
Yeah.
invests it with so much without being.
Yeah.
Without going to histrionics,
Right.
there's like this moment, this realization he has where we're both mad.
Like, yeah.
We're
Like,
what are we
you're
doing?
clearly bonkers, but
Right.
I'm standing here next to you supporting you,
I'm
and that's
enabling
not.
your criminal
Yeah.
behavior now.
Yeah. And what we also don't know is how long it's been since Arthur died.
Right.
Some time. 6 months, 6 years,
And
60
also,
years,
very
16
plainly, if this
years.
film was remade, everyone would be far too young to have children.
Yes.
This is.
That was one of the things I said right when
Right.
it started. I'm like, that's a middle-aged woman.
Right,
I don't know
exactly.
how old she was when this movie was made, but she's not a child. Like, I'm gonna
Well, I
actually
felt
find out.
like a good example is when we were watching The Omen, right? And I'd mentioned that in the remake, or the original couple was Lee Remick and Gregory Peck, playing people well into middle age. In Gregory Peck's case, Lee Remick was a little bit younger. But this was her last child that died, and so he replaces her with this baby that was the foundling that was given to him. It turns out to be the Antichrist. To me, that's the most compelling part of the movie, really, the fact that he tried to keep this going for her.
Yeah.
And in the remake, it was Julia Stiles and Lee Schreiber, who were much younger. Julia Stiles' character, when you look at her compared to the original film, this is a woman who's at the age of the end of her childbearing years,
Yeah.
at least at the time. So losing this child was horrifying to
Yeah.
her. Like she will never be able to have another. And so when you watch Julia Stiles, the idea is as callous as it sounds, she can have another child. And so the idea of bringing this in this case, it could very well be that she's a woman who's having a child late, and this is what.
Yeah, although she's
Or it could have happened
in real
years
life, she
ago.
was 36 when this movie was made.
Right.
And I don't know if she looks older than that because they age her up,
Well,
because or if she looks older than that because you only ever see 20-year-olds on screen, so.
there also is, there's, they aged Richard Attenborough in such a way. They gave him a face that looks like he's had his nose
Yeah,
broken
his no
and
yes, he's got a definitely got a nose piece. That mustache is wild that he ends up
right.
with. Like,
And that broken nose appliance they use, the one that resembles a broken nose, although it's intact, it really does look like she has just emotionally battered him so much it communicates to you, oh, this guy just takes
yeah,
a
because
lot of
this dude
shots.
doesn't fight. Like,
Right.
that's not a thing that this like physically. So the. It comes to a head for him when mom comes to one of the seances. He's like, that's fucked up. And at the same time, she's feverish and starts calling out mommy.
Right.
And she's right in the right neck, the next room to the seance room. Not ideal. And, he has also been saying, we got to get her to a doctor. And I'm like, dude, she's not going to let you take her to a doctor. You've kidnapped her. Also, she says what, steal or borrow. She says
Right.
borrow. He's like, that's not what
We've
this is.
borrowed a child.
We have
That's how
not,
we've
that's
done it. It's like,
not,
no, other
nope.
people will call it kidnapping.
Kidnapping. And they do use borrow. And then it sort of morphs into kidnapping. Y'all, it was always
At some point, she
kidnapping.
admits that, and probably after the big argument they have. But yeah, so the little girl is crying out her mother's name. He's trying to keep her quiet without
Actually killing,
smothering her.
smothering her, yeah.
But then that's when, in the middle of that seance, which is the second seance in the
Yeah.
film, Myra starts saying the word die or death.
Yeah.
And the seance ends because she collapses,
yeah.
and poor Billy has to William has to run from one room to the other to help her,
Right.
and then she
And just
becomes
hopes that the girl just stays quiet
right.
and,
Because
yeah.
at that point, I think he would be relieved if they had found, because there is that element of, oh my God, I'm holding my breath this whole time.
Yeah.
But then we find out that Myra is now believes that she's gotten the word from Arthur.
That he wants to be with the little girl whose
Right.
name I cannot remember.
She's
Amanda,
going to
maybe.
be a playmate. He will have a friend on the other side, and that's
Yes.
when he confronts her, going, "How you're not speaking to our child.
Yeah.
You
He wouldn't be, he couldn't speak this well because he was a
right."
infant. Like, he was not a child with, full,
Right.
agency. Like, that's not what has
And
happened.
so when he confronts her about that, she goes into sort of like a state of shock,
Yeah.
because I think that's the first time she's heard that, particularly from him.
Yeah.
And so later on, he takes the child, he takes Amanda,
Yeah.
he leaves her near a Boy Scout encampment because they can't take care of her. She
He
needs a
carry yeah,
doctor.
he carries her out and she is limp and you're like and this is after she has said, "You have to kill her, you have to kill her, you have to kill her." And Billy's like, this woman has lost her
Right.
damn mind and I gotta get this child out. And so he does. He takes her into a forest and he puts her by a tree. And that's the last time we see her. We see that some Boy Scouts
Yeah.
see her and find her. We don't know when he puts her down whether she's dead or alive.
Yeah.
And there's one line at the very end, which I missed, that he says, yeah, she was
Right,
alive.
because we then come to Patrick McGee, again, not McNee or McGoohan,
Right.
but who plays Superintendent Walsh, who not only is an actual detective, and it's almost like there's a almost a Columbo element to him,
Yeah.
because he's very shrewd, and he also himself is a spiritualist.
Yes.
And so that kind of puts Myra off, because
But
she
I'm the one who's supposed to be,
right,
like, I'm supposed to be pulling the wool over anybody's eyes because I am the expert in this.
and he not only is an expert, he cites studies,
And she's
and
like,
right, she has no idea
but
what
I
he's
have a
talking
gift,
about, right.
though.
And he's going on about the studies and what great results they've gotten, and so he pushes the idea of having another
Another
sitting.
seance, that's right.
And
At which point, Myra goes nuts and confesses. It's a real Robert Durst situation.
right.
I'm just like, what does she do? And I don't know if she's knows what's happening.
No,
Like,
she doesn't
she
seem to,
fully
because the minute that she comes
disassociated.
out of it, she goes to Billy, "Did I do okay, Billy? Did I get it right?"
Oh,
Which,
that's a heartbreaking ass thing to
and
say. Oh.
his reaction to this, you can just see him crumple
But
inside of
also,
himself.
yes, you did, because you can't be out here in the world,
Right.
because you are unsafe. You
And
are
he does
unsafe.
ask about the girl to Inspector McGee, I'll call him
Yeah,
that.
that's right. It's fine.
And he's like, "Yes, the Boy Scouts found her."
And she's fine. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's
And so
healing
they're
over
leading
there.
them away, as Myra is still sort of, she had a, like, she had a breakdown before. She had a, this is it. She's now lost.
Yep.
She's completely lost to them. Billy's going to go to jail forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
And that's how the film ends. The adaptation of the book that I read today, which I suppose is closer, doesn't include an Arthur at all. It's just a scheme. So they become instantly less sympathetic.
Oh, yeah, they're just criminal. They're con artists at
And
that
that
point.
version of Myra is not above smacking the little kid around to get her to shut up.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. Which
And
I feel like this. Myra would have if Billy hadn't been like, I'm gonna deal with the
Right.
girl. Like, I need you to not.
But the end of that story, which again might be the ending of the book, is that the little girl dies, and
Oof.
that Myra actually sees her on the other side and gives
Like,
the
all of
game
a
away.
sudden, she has
Right, she genuinely has a psychic
a psychic
vision,
vision.
and that she gives the game away
See, here's
by
the thing. Dead
saying, "Why did you
kids
leave me in the
will
woods?"
fuck you.
Right?
Like, they will show up and fuck up your shit.
So it. That film is more of a, or the book rather, seems to be more of an actual supernatural thriller, because there's a twist at the end.
Right.
But I think that this film, it's just so tragic.
We were talking, and you you called me this morning, and you said, "Hey, did you find out who she lost the
No,
Academy
right.
Award to?"
Kim Stanley was
She
nominated for
was
an Academy
nominated for
Award.
Academy Award. I don't know how she didn't get an Academy Award for this.
Yes.
I figured it must be some great performance. Here's where I get pissed off because I
Right.
told you, don't
Okay.
tell me. We're doing it live. Let's go.
It was Julie Andrews for Mary Poppins.
Go fuck yourself.
Right. Mary fucking Poppins. I read that today and it just, that's when I broke.
I have a
I, like, there's
lot
a
of
cracking
respect.
noise. People turned around and looked at me like, what happened? And
I
you're
have a
like,
lot of respect for Julie Andrews,
right?
but no fucking
No.
way. No way.
Not for Mary Poppins, least of
I
all.
will say, at least it's something I've heard of. I hate when I watch a performance and it's like spectacular and
Right.
it's like everybody lauds it and people now think about it and then we're like, what did it lose to? Some shit I never heard of. Like,
Right.
womp womp. But that's
Just wrong.
deeply
That
upsetting.
is really, really wrong.
Yeah, that's wild. And Kim Stanley is American.
Yeah.
Julie Andrews isn't. Not that I don't think that British people can win Academy Awards, but like, but wait,
That
though.
I don't understand it. It for Mary Poppins.
That hurts my stomach. I
It's
don't like it.
I was absolutely stunned when I read that. What, excuse me? Could you come again? What was this about? But
That is
it's
straight up bonkers. I want to see who else was nominated. I gotta go to
and Bancroft, I think, was
1962.
1964.
Not 64. So it was released in 1963 here? That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Anne Bancroft for The Pumpkin Eater. Never heard of it. Sophia Loren. I know her. Married to Italian Style. I've never seen it.
It's a
Debbie
comedy,
Reynolds for The
so
Unsinkable Molly
right.
Brown. This for Sands on a Wet Afternoon. And then Julie Andrews. Like, literally anybody other than Julie. I haven't seen three of
I've
those
seen The Pumpkin
performances.
Eater, and Anne Bancroft is very
I
good.
will say that lineup of ladies is fucking,
Right.
that's
And
bangers
I can
all the way
also see
down.
that Sophia
But
Loren, as good a performer as she is, that comedies weren't given a lot of heft at the time.
yeah.
There's not very many Academy Award-winning comedy
You said
performances.
Sophia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't Debbie Reynolds? Wasn't The
And
Unthinkable
Unsinkable
Molly
Molly
Brown
Brown
was
was a
also
musical.
a music,
A
just straight up
musical.
musical?
And there was
Well, to
comic
be
elements to
fair,
it.
Mary Poppins is a combination of both
Right.
of those.
And it
And k kids?
and animated film as well.
Animated penguins.
I when you see the how
I'm
really
mad.
just deep this performance was, and
Just straight acting wise.
right.
What?
And the fact that Richard Attenborough said himself, it's like he felt like he was on his toes all the time because you could not miss a step
No.
with her.
She will smush you like a
And
tank.
right, exactly. And so she's
But that's
matching,
why he is, I mean,
right.
he is also so good.
Right.
Weird that he is lead, but I might almost want him nominated for like
Well,
supporting actor because
right.
he is
He's lead
supporting
because,
that
well, he's
performance.
also one of the producers of the film.
Although if that was true, all the women in every movie would be
Right.
supporting because, ugh.
He's a producer in the film, and
That's
he
right.
was also part responsible for casting her.
Good idea, dude.
And it was again just her performance, just absolutely rolled right over him, or her audition rather, and he knew that she needed to be in this part, and it was just amazing watching. To actors of this caliber just doing these things. And I remember telling you when we were watching it, don't look away from the screen because
Yeah.
they're both doing such subtle things with their eyes.
But the just listening to it too.
Right.
Like I was like, has this ever been a play?
It's been, oh, you know what's interesting? It's been turned into an
An
opera,
opera. I did see
which is
that.
amazing.
I
And
did see that. I was
it's been
like,
turned into a play since then.
I feel like other than the the heisty part.
Mm-hmm.
Because 85% of it takes place in this house between
Right.
these two people, with little, interjections from the girl and
Yeah.
their interaction with her. And the fact all the seances are in this house, like, I feel like it lends itself very well to the play. Also, the screenplay
right
could be switched to a play, like a script.
Right.
Like, what is the word? Pretty easily. The writing is very good.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it is pulled from the book, but it sounds like not very much.
Well, the basic idea seemed to be.
Right.
And some of the lines, when I was listening to the radio adaptation of the book, some of the lines were similar. But as I also pointed out to you when we were watching it, if you change the inflection, you could use the same script and get a different meaning from it.
Sure.
And the thing is, as you were pointing out, it really is these two people.
Yeah.
Just running away with this story.
Yeah, and like I said, because the story is bananas,
yeah,
you need those two people to be grounded in their performances. They are these people.
Yeah.
They're not, and maybe that's what the method, brings to
it. It certainly worked in this case.
But, I mean, because, and that's the other thing, maybe it is, I kind of want to read, not the shooting script, but the actual screenplay, to see if I can get a clearer idea of what the writer believed the motivations to be.
Right.
Because what is imbued in the line readings from both of them makes so much of it ambiguous. Like, do they believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Do they not believe it, but are holding themselves up? Are they trying to, just get this money? Like, there's so many options. I think that slims down when we know that they're con artists. Like, I gotta assume that the woman in the book and the adaptation
right.
that you read did not in any way believe that she had.
She seems to.
Gifts.
It was. Right. It didn't seem like she completely believed it. Like, she was convinced that from, again.
It's like, I understand this enough that I can dupe people.
Right.
But either it's all bullshit or, yeah, that's probably it. That's got to be it, right? Because if you're surprised at the end that you actually have a vision, then you thought it was bullshit up until that
right.
point. You're not like, oh, my power is coming into clarity.
I remember describing just the outline, the sparest outline of this story. But the woman convinces her husband to kidnap a child so that she can use her psychic powers to find the child.
Yeah.
And I remember describing
I really
that.
Expected more interaction with the parents. Like, I kind of expected her to, like, accost them a little bit.
Well, she does show up at their house.
She
in the
does
middle
once.
Of their, right.
Um,
middle of their grieving, which is what gets the mother's attention.
Yeah.
She,
and dad's like, get the fuck out of here.
Right, right. Dad has dealt with his share of people coming up to him, and he says, somebody came to me this morning and told me that they're going to use a pendulum to find my child.
Right, that's right.
So he is
he wants
utterly
concrete
skeptical.
Ideas of
right.
what we're doing. Like, that's not, I'm not hanging it on these could be charlatans,
right.
don't know, but don't want to invest.
Well, yeah, this
and
is.
Mom, of course, is like, anything I can get, anything I can use to get my daughter back, which.
Right.
That's why women are targeted by MLMs, because they just want to believe.
Overall, do you think it was thrilling?
For sure. 100%. Because the whole time you're like, how far is this woman
right.
gonna go?
I feel.
Which is also what Billy is thinking.
I really.
You're really in it with him.
Right.
You're really in it with Attenborough. You're just like, yeah, when you just support that one friend or spouse too much, and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
I've become accomplice.
You're looking at him thinking, when is he going to pull away from her? And
he's in
tell
it.
He's looking, just shifting his eyes back and forth as if to go, how long am
I
going to put up with this?
How
what
do I
do
get
I
out?
Do? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing.
Also, probably was like, if I move against her, she may just stab me in the face.
Well, I think that he's worried about her, and now that this child is actually a part of it, he's worried about the child.
Of course, especially after she gets sick.
Because that's the first thing he asks about.
Myra's like, that's fine.
The first thing he asks about when the inspector, when Myra outs them both as kidnappers.
Yeah.
He asks about the child, if she's all right. So, yeah, no, it's a great film. I'm glad you got to see it.
Yeah, no, it's very, very good. Recommend. Where did we watch it?
We watched it on,
I don't remember.
Max, was it?
I feel like it was.
It was part of the Criterion Collection.
That sounds right. Yeah, it's on Max. Yep. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Looks very good. Yeah, she's so good.
She is.
She's just
it's just
so
a
good.
Pity that we didn't get to see more of that.
Mary Poppins. God damn it.
I know.
I mean, the Academy gets it wrong on the reg, so I
but
don't
that's
know
so
why I'm
egregiously
so...
wrong.
Yeah, I don't.
No spoonful of sugar will make that medicine go down, I can tell you.
No. I'm choking on it. So upsetting. All right. Dance on a Wet Afternoon. Check it out.
Exactly.
It's very good. Like I said, I thought it was 1964 in the U.S., 1961 in Britain. So it's a long turnaround. Yeah.
I sure as God hope that she wasn't in the audience for her Academy Award.
Oh, so God.
That would be...
You know what, though? She had stage fright.
Right, so maybe...
She either wasn't there or relieved. It was one of those two things. Like, obviously, she's also a woman who is not necessarily in it for the accolades, right? Like, that's not what we're doing here.
Oh, no, there's a very funny story about her... Well, not funny, I mean, where she was so successful in one of her performances that people were literally packing the theater to see her. And she got horrified about what to do. She had to go out and meet her fans. And one of the fellow actors says, so she sort of sat there with her head in her hands for a while. And then you saw like the switch turn going, that's it. I'm acting. I'm going to act like I'm a star. And she marches out and is just dazzling the crowd. But she had to literally put on something in order to communicate comfortable communications with other people.
The apparently the soundtrack was just re-released, archival released.
Yeah.
It was nominated this year for an award.
That's funny.
As best archival release. So, yeah, the music is really good. Like I said, lots of xylophone.
Right.
Ting, ting, ting.
And you think this is the same guy who does the big, bombastic, jazzy scores for James Bond?
He knows what all of the instruments do, and he uses them well. Good job, buddy. All right, Fans on a Wet Afternoon. Watch it, you guys. Seriously, it's very good. Next week, do you know what we're watching next? So, Sands on a Wet Afternoon is the last movie of April.
Uh-huh.
So, let's talk about what we're doing in May. There are five in May, because May is a long month, and it starts on a Wednesday. So, first and up next is Night of the Eagle. Then, The Haunting. I do know what that is. The Naked Prey, The Three Musketeers, and Coma. We're getting through both the 60s and the 70s
Well,
next month.
The thing is that the suspense list for AFI did cover the 70s pretty thoroughly.
Yeah. 60s too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
But there were some just...
We do quite a bit in the 80s and 90s. And then,
because that was after their... Yeah. The 90s was after their list, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, it went up to 99. 99 is the oldest.
And it missed all these films. Okay.
It was 99... Or 94. I know Speed was in 1994. So
we have two spooky films. Well, two whole, like, supernatural thrillers.
Okay, so what is Night of the Eagle?
Night of the Eagle is based...
It sounds like a military film. Is it a military film? Okay.
The eagle in question is not a military insignia. This is based on...
It's not like in Rome?
No.
It's not the... Okay.
Imperium? No. It's based on a book by Fritz Lieber, which is on my bookshelf, called Conjure Wife. It's right there.
That's right. Because Conjure Wife is 1,000 times better.
Well,
name.
Conjure Wife tells you exactly what it's about.
The name is... Why is it called Night of the Eagle?
Because
what the fuck?
I have no idea.
Were they trying to get men in the thing to try... Because they thought it was a military
Well,
movie?
It's been adapted twice. Or it's been adapted twice. One was as Night of the Eagle. Before, it was done in the 40s, I think, and it was called Weird Woman.
Oh, that's better. It's
Right.
what Conjure Wife is so good. What a good
It's
title.
about
You
a
really fucked.
college professor who's an anthropologist and a thorough skeptic, and he discovers that his wife, having visited the islands with him, the
Oh
West
no.
Indies, has come back with all sorts of charms and spells and things that she seriously believes in.
Oh no, is this a white woman doing voodoo?
So what happens is that he insists, being so skeptical, that she give up these charms, and she's begging him not to because she believes that evil forces are taken against him, and
These
that,
are protecting him, and
right,
when you
and
lose them, your
then
protection's gone. Ooh.
all hell breaks. It's
Okay.
really interesting.
I'm intrigued, but also fucking Night of the Eagle is so much
It
shittier than
doesn't
Conjure
give,
Wife.
yeah, it doesn't really give any clue as to what you're supposed to be
No,
watching.
literally, I was like, there's gonna be people with epaulets in this movie.
Right.
Like,
Yes, it's going to be about Nazis, or it'll be about Romans, or about somebody who worships eagles.
or
That's
like spies.
right.
So you have to go up and say weird shit to them. And you get a weird password back or passphrase back.
Now
It's
this
very
one is
strange.
available on Amazon,
Okay.
where we purchased it, so it's there, and it's yeah, it's if you've never read Fritz Lieber.
Is it a long one or a short
No, it's
one?
a short one because it's back when people knew that horror films should be short.
I'm gonna say 95 minutes max.
Right. Well, unless you're doing something like The Shining or
Sure.
whatever, which is
An hour and 30
a
minutes. Good job,
sprawl,
y'all.
right? But the idea is that.
Also, rom-coms, please don't
Right.
make that longer than an hour and 45 minutes. I'm
Are
talking to
you
you,
telling the
Ed
life of
Norton.
Jesus? Then you should take 3 hours. If you're telling like a story about something that jumps out of a closet and goes boo, it should be 90 minutes.
Yeah.
That's, if you're telling the life of some famous historical figure, if you're doing something that demands a lot of spectacle on screen, that's when you take your time. But for a story like this, especially when you have an audience where it's not all going to be people who believe in black magic, there's a certain amount of time where an audience will have a willing suspension of disbelief, and then they'll start going, okay, that's too far. So this movie is the right length for that.
This is also called Burn Witch Burn.
Yes.
That's a better title.
That's a better title,
I don't
too.
know if it's accurate to the story. We will
Well,
find out,
something
but
happens in the film, but I'll let you see it.
does it? Never mind. We're not going to
Nope,
get
we're going to
into
see it.
it. Then The Haunting. We know that. It's fantastic. The walls move, and no one will hear you at night in the dark. So good. Naked Prey, wherein a man runs
That's
for an hour and a
that's
half.
basically the plot of the film.
We went back and forth over Apocalypto and the Naked Prey, and we went with the
Naked Prey.
less racist one. Then Three Musketeers, one of your favoritists. We get another dose of Christopher Lee. Is that the last time we see him? I think that's the last time we see him. And then Coma, based on a Robin Cook movie, or book rather, an author that I really like. I'm pretty sure I've read this book. Like when I've read a lot of Robin Cook when I was like 9 to
Oh, good
11.
God, why?
When I was reading Dean Koontz too.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
broken.
Okay.
I read Stephen King that young as well. Everything except Gerald's Game, which I wasn't allowed to watch, read until I was 14, which we talked about when we watched the Gerald's Game movie, and I thought, geez, I wish she had said 16. I didn't necessarily need to read that. But I wanted some medical thrillers on here. We've got a
Right.
couple, and this is the first one. I like a medical thriller,
Yeah. And it's a good one.
so that's a there's a weird bunch, but that is what we're doing
Right.
for the month of May.
The merry, merry month of May. Or in this case, the very scary month of May.
And then we're getting basically it's 1979 is the next, so we're getting into the 80s next month
Okay.
or the following month in June. So, Night of the Eagle, aka Burn Witch Burn,
Based on Conjure Wife, the best
based on
title of
Conjure
all that
Wife,
was not used.
released in 1962. Who's its star? Help me. I want to
Oh.
find it so that I can. It's Janet Blair and Peter Wingard,
Right.
directed by Sidney Hayers. So if that's the movie we're looking for,
Right.
that's the one. Nothing with epaulets. No
No.
tanks.
No.
Nope, none of that. In the meantime, other than finding this movie and watching it, Do you have anything you want to recommend?
I haven't seen anything. Right. Although I will recommend something for people who like odd stuff.
I love odd stuff. Let's do it.
There's an episode of Night Gallery that was written by Rod Serling.
Have I ever seen any episodes of Night Gallery?
You might have.
I know I've seen the movie multiple times.
And that's really that whole thing with Roddy McDowell, the pictures of the
The
figure from
picture
the
and the turpentine.
grave.
Nope.
No.
That
But
movie scared the sh I also saw that when I was very
yeah,
young.
I did too, and it stayed with me. But one of there's, let me just go on.
No, yeah, it's fine.
There's an episode of Night Gallery that was written by Rod Serling called Miracle at Camafeo, and it interested me because like a Sound Someone Afternoon, somebody comes up with a really ingenious, crafty idea, which is it's taken from the point of view of an insurance investigator who is following a man to a village in Mexico. This man has claimed to be hit by a bus. He has gotten a great deal of money from the insurance company. He's perfectly healthy, and he's going to claim to go to this little town in Mexico, which has waters like Lourdes,
Oh, yeah.
where people can drink of it and it cures them. So he's going to scam the insurance company by pretending that, yes, I was hit by a bus, but now I've drunk this water and the Virgin cured me and I can now walk. And so it doesn't work out well for him because this is Rod Serling and Rod Serling
Yeah,
has
it's that's, and now you're going to get your comeuppance.
right,
Fucking buckle
which
in, buddy.
does
It's not gonna be
happen, right.
good.
So, but it's a really neat kind of, oh.
Did you watch that? Because we watched Night Swim, a recent film, wherein also there is healing waters until
Right.
they're not.
But it reminded me, though, of Sound Someone Afternoon and that somebody comes up with a scheme that there's enough ambiguity in it to where you can't prove or disprove it, because then you're going, well, you're saying miracles don't happen if this guy can walk. I mean, other people, were at Lourdes
Fights I
and
don't want to have, yeah.
yeah, so the thing is, nobody wants to have that
Yeah, it
fight.
is really like, it's the same though as people who think that prayer healed them. So everybody else who prayed and didn't get healed, fuck them, I guess. Like
It's,
it's a real slippery slope.
but no one's going to put that on trial. No one's going, the insurance company is not going to
No, the
say,
insurance company will not.
but anyhow, it's a really nifty plot, and there's a twist at the end, which is really neat. But that's what I would recommend if you
Yeah,
can.
so it's an episode. Hold on, I'll find it. It's season 2, episode 17. It's the first half.
Right.
It's the Miracle at Camafeo, Camafeo. That's all one word. And then the second half is the Ghosts of Sorworth Place.
Right, and camafeo is, I think, Spanish for ugly bed or like a
I
sick
mean,
bed.
that's sick
So,
bed, yeah.
right, so that's kind of, there's a play on words, and it's Rod Serling, so there's some beautiful snatches of dialogue, just like in the film we just watched. So,
Dialogue in this movie was really good.
is there anything that you would like to
I
recommend?
don't know. I no, not really. I finished the Great Pottery Throwdown. I'm sad because I'm out now. And I'm listening to Smut.
Okay.
None of which I can really recommend because you don't need to know what I'm listening to, y'all. No, I haven't been watching anything. We did see Night Swim. You guys liked it better than I did, I think.
Well, it was better than I expected because I'm like, it's a swimming pool. What harm can happen? And apparently, a great deal of
I
harm.
mean, people die in swimming pools all the time. So it's
Right.
not like
But
it's a
it was, I
benign
didn't
thing in
go
and
in
of
with any
itself.
high expectations,
Fair
and
enough.
it was better than I
Yeah.
expected, so.
I was just like, oh, I know everything that's gonna
Right.
happen. Cool. I did think Wyatt Russell was very good in it, although I didn't recognize him. Like, he was familiar to me, but I couldn't figure out why. And it was not because he reminded me of his
Right.
dad. Like, that wasn't it. And we just obviously watch him in Monarch, but for whatever reason, I was like, why is the dude so familiar to
Well,
me?
he was also bearded
Yeah.
and stuff,
He looks
so
better that way.
right.
Less like his dad,
Well,
maybe.
that's
I don't
it.
know.
He puts on the beard when he doesn't want to be Kurt Russell Jr.
It off immediately when he's hired to be Kurt Russell Jr. Because for the paycheck, yes, please.
Yes.
So that's it. I think that's it.
Right.
If I come up with something else, I can. Oh, here's what I recommend, because this is really what my last week has been. Go on vacation, y'all.
Oh, yes. I would also recommend not standing out looking for an eclipse that doesn't happen, or at least doesn't happen where you can see
It
it.
happened. It was only
I didn't see it, so
13%.
therefore it didn't happen. That's what I mean.
Ugh.
I'll be a skeptic about it.
But also, don't look at the sun.
No.
It's too late now. Today was the day of the eclipse. We are recording that now. This won't be released until the 25th. So look at that buffer we're building. It's very nice. But largely, it was because last week I went on vacation. I went whale watching. You know how many whales I saw? Zero. It was very disappointing. Also, the naturalist on the boat said, "I've been with this company for a year. This is the first time we haven't seen any whales," which made me feel great. I was like, happy birthday to me. Upside, this company gave me a rain check that never
Yeah,
expires.
which is good. That's really
So
nice.
I'm gonna try again.
Go looking for whales.
It turns out there were orcas earlier in the day. And the thing about orca
Damned orcas.
is everything leaves when orcas show up because they will eat you if you don't. So everything disperses. And then if the orcas leave, then there's nothing. There's nothing to see. So I also went to the aquarium.
Oh,
Oh, and
nice.
Hearst Castle. You should go there if you can. It's very interesting and beautiful. I went on one tour. I was led to believe that they would let you sort of wander about.
No, I can't imagine they
We,
would with all
well,
that.
outside,
Oh.
not in the
Okay.
building, but outside. I thought you could walk in the gardens, which it says you can, but as soon as we walked out of the Roman pool, get on the bus. I was like, okay. So, but it was good. I really
Okay,
liked it.
cool.
And I got pine glasses from there. So I've been looking for some souvenir. Okay, that's everything. Next week, Night of the Eagle, aka Burn Witch.
Which
Burn. And we will talk about that. In the meantime, you can give us a call, or not give us a call. You can email us at latecomerspod@gmail.com, or you could reach out on the Facebooks. We're a million years old, and every other social media platform sucks.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Let me
Facebook
get
as
my
well.
ear horn so I can hear.
Wind it up. That's not how it works. I know. I'm very old and very young at the same time. I know nothing. And let's see. I want to remind you, take all of your medicines every day that you have. And we want to remind you, better
Better
late
late
than
than never.
never.